chosen a fantastic day to come to Wick. The town's looking amazing in the glorious sunshine. We're just crossing a bridge, Wick Harbour Bridge, and we're heading towards the harbour. And I'm in the company of Joanna Cogle, who's Vice Chair of the Community Council of Wick, and Luke Graham, who's Treasurer of the Community Council of the Royal Borough of Wick. The Royal Borough of Wick, Joanna, you're very proud of your town.
Oh, very proud. I'm a dirty Wicker.
What does that mean?
We work hard. Not that we're dirty. It's dirty weekers, and that just means, in local terms, we're hardworking. In old-fashioned words, Caithness dialect, hardworking.
And I know from just being in your company for just a couple of minutes that you could not be more proud or committed to this town.
No, I want everybody to come and visit, to stay, and for locals to take some kind of pride in our town.
Do you feel that the locals have lost a bit of pride in your town?
They have, in a way. Some of us are really committed and we volunteer for so many things. I do think a younger generation just expect it to happen, but this is why we have to encourage more.
Well, talking about younger generation, we've got Luke here. He's 26. When were you elected to the community council?
I was actually co-opted about a year ago.
Well, you were co-opted, and I know that you've got strong Liberal Democrat views, and you're pretty politically active.
Yeah.
We're going to cross the road, so let's try not to get killed. I see a car coming, but we'll just go anyway. So Luke, your political views, are they driving some of the work you're doing with your area?
I would definitely say so, yeah. I mean, Liberal Democrats are very local, community oriented, very strong supporters of localism, having decisions made as close to the source of what they'll affect is very important for us. So yeah, it's certainly something that has made me get involved.
Do you see this as just a first step in a political career?
Well, I ran for Highland Council for this ward last year, and so that's certainly still something that we might look at doing again. But for now, I'm just focused on doing as much as I can for the community council and the ward that we're in, just the town that I was brought up in. Trying to get things moving. It's not easy.
We're now well into the harbour area. We can hear some industrial noises going on. But John has just been telling me about one of her biggest... She has many passions. One of her biggest passions is for Scotland in Bloom and Wick's effort there. Tell me a little bit more about that, Joanna.
Well, it's a Scotland in Bloom. We decided as a group to enter a town, which included not only ourselves with flowering baskets and hanging baskets, but all the voluntary groups that we've got in the town. And every year we entered, we either got a silver or a silver gilt. And the one year that we got the Tourism Award for Scotland, which is fantastic, we beat Pitlochry. Oh my God, I was screaming.
I'm not
but
surprised.
But my only gripe about that was, no matter how hard we try to get a Scottish Tourist Board to do something for it, to recognise Wick winning this award, the furthest north town in the whole of Scotland, we came up against so many brick walls.
I'm disappointed to hear that, but yeah. I think in the light of the conversations that we'll be having as we walk around, I think that won't be an uncommon feeling that you have in Wick.
It's just so frustrating. But I think they think because we're so far north, nothing happens here. But so much happens here.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, walking around Wick Town Centre, I can't quite imagine it because Wick Town Centre, to be frank, don't kill me, is a little bit run down looking.
It certainly is looking run down because buildings are falling to bits, they're old, and there's no government rule that says shop owners or shop or building owners have to take care of the buildings. No rule.
So they've just been let go. Oh, look, we're just at the marina. It's totally fantastic. We could be in the Mediterranean, actually, looking at it. You've got pontoons for how many, do you know?
I don't know how many, actually, but there's a lot. And they've got plans for more pontoons in the inner harbour. We're lucky. Wick has three harbours, and it all dates back to the fishing industry. So we've got pontoons here, more pontoons happening over there, and the old mart they use as for visiting sailors to use as showers and changing rooms to get freshened up. And they have free Wi-Fi. They've got so much free facilities here, and the harbour master looks after, makes sure that everybody's okay. And we have a harbour day every year run by the lifeboat.
So we're looking here, probably looking at 30 vessels at the moment at the pontoons. They look like a real mixture of yachts and little inshore fishing boats.
There's lots of creel boats here in Wick. We've only got two fishing boats left now, sadly. EU killed them, but I won't get started on that, being a daughter of a fisherman.
Well, it's quite a thought, isn't it? Because
it is.
At one point there were 1,000 fishing
boats. You could
boats.
Walk across the harbour in Wick. When I was little, there was always three boats abreast, but there's not anymore. There's two fishing boats in Wick, and that is it. But lots of creel boats. again on a Sunday, you can't move here for Spanish lorries. French lorries coming up here and taking all our shellfish away. But it's good business for the harbour. It employs a lot of creelmen, a lot of fishermen that used to go to sea. The increase of yachts from overseas is getting more and more. Last year, I think they had about 275 visiting yachts, which is brilliant.
Turning to you, Luke, I know we've had a very positive story from Joanna there about all the good things that are happening in Wick, but I know that there are other things which perhaps give you cause for concern.
Yeah, I think, we're sitting at the harbour right now, which is probably one of the most positive areas of the town right now. But I think, as has been mentioned before, if we head back into the main street, the high street, and some of the streets round about, it's really quite run down. We have a serious issue with abandoned buildings that nothing's been done with and they're just falling down. And just a general, a kind of grubbiness to the town outside of the kind of harbour area, which is quite frustrating when, you know, you're trying, we've got this North Coast 500 now, we're wanting to really sell the town, and it's made quite difficult by a kind of general kind of just run down, let down feel to the
It has an air of neglect, and I understand that shops have been pulling out as well.
Yeah, we're losing one of the shops on the main street soon. The original factory shop is going. We're losing Foam Base on the other side of town. Certainly, the main street has plenty of unoccupied properties, which various small businesses have tried to set up and then abandoned within, you know, I'd say probably most of them last about a year at the most.
So what's the problem for them?
A lack of business would be probably the main thing. We certainly are having an issue in Caithness with depreciating population, and with that, you know, drop in numbers, money and business flows out as well.
Wick High Street's probably a bit of a triple whammy on it. It's so run down to start with.
Yeah.
The business isn't there.
Yeah.
The people haven't kept up the buildings. What's the way through? Can you see any solutions?
I think the solutions is going to be finding new industry for here. I think wind farms is going to, not just wind farms, but renewable energy overall has got to come to Caithness if we're going to have anything. The North Coast 500, which will be talked about a lot, has to have a positive impact. But it's getting the willpower and making the decisions to do something about the kind of just general state of the town. It doesn't happen by itself, but the resources, as we keep getting told, aren't there for what maybe our ambitions are.
There's Lowry's steps. We're not going to have to go up them, are we?
I think we should.
Breathlessness on the radio is not a good look or sound. Here we are. This is a rather lovely plaque on the wall, which must be derived from his painting. This is the original site where L.S. Lowry painted Black Steps, Wick, in 1936, reproduced by kind permission of Carol A. Lowry. That's lovely. I can see why you're proud of that.
Oh, there's lots of things in Wick. I'm a very proud Wicker.
Yes, John is a very proud Wicker.
We're walking along. During the Second World War, Wick got bombed quite badly, and this whole site was demolished, and this is a memorial garden. To the people that were killed here, there are a lot of children killed. So the families of those children managed to buy this bit of land and put it back to some state that it's a memorial that you can go in. It's so tranquil and so
it's
peaceful.
It's very beautiful with some
and
really beautiful artwork in it.
The dry stone dike on this side, every child that was killed, there's a stone in memory.
You know, you're touching on something that I think is probably really relevant to your frustrations about Wick.
Yeah.
Who knew that Wick was badly bombed in the war and lots of children died? Certainly not many people.
Nobody past Wick actually knows that, I don't think. Because Wick was really important in the World War II. We had so many airports up here. And we had a Polish army, Polish navy, we had prisoner of war camps. It was a very important area for Churchill. He had a lot of the local beaches mined, protected, to stop any landings. And after the World War, it took 2 years to clear the mines on one beach, the Rees Beach. They tend to forget it. You go into a tourist board place in Inverness and they tell you, there's nothing up there. Don't bother. That is fact.
Shocked to hear that.
Yeah.
But while we're on the subject of memorials, I'm going to turn to Luke now, because I think there's something that you're involved with, Luke, to try and remember seafarers.
One of the things that Wick's missing is as a harbour town, as a memorial to everyone who's been lost at sea over the many, many years, centuries. And so I'm part of a group that's trying to raise some money to get such a memorial built.
How far have you got with the idea?
It has just recently been set up. We've put together a committee and just generally trying to get a kind of budget together and figure out how we're going to fundraise. And it's early days. It's really, really early days.
What is this part of Wick called?
This is Lower Pulteney.
It has a sort of historic air about it, with some really charming old buildings.
Yeah, Pulteney, it was developed by Telford, and he built it specifically for the herring industry. He was invited up to build it. And Stevenson, Robert Louis Stevenson lived here. His father was an engineer. He only lived here for a couple of years. He learnt to dive, and his father built a pier just outside of Wick, but it only lasted a couple of months because we have strong storms here in the winter.
I don't think there's anything that Joanna doesn't know about this town. Yeah, we're walking under a lovely shady bit because we're back to trees and a little bit of greenery. We're still in Pulteney. We're heading back to the main town.
Yeah, but you can see all the derelict buildings just starting to appear now.
Yes.
Those are actually quite tiny derelict buildings compared to their normal, to their other properties in Wick. Yeah.
Yes, and it's I would say probably a Victorian terrace, and it's, it could be so charming.
Could be.
But the windows are all boarded up, tattered, a bit of graffiti here and there.
I'd certainly say this is the street that probably has the most abandoned feel to it, because apart from the hairdressers and you've got BT in there, there's not a lot really happening. And you just, you know, it's a very, very long street. It's actually quite deceptive how long it is. And I've listed off kind of, well, you've got the lumber yard at the end as well. But, you know, that's about it.
But, you know, I mean, it is bordered by lovely trees. And it could be a great pride for Wick.
It could be, yes, because it backs onto the library, which is now shut.
You've lost your library.
Well, it's been put into the new schools. Wick was lucky. We did get 3 brand new schools and a new swimming pool facility built, which meant 2 primary schools had to be demolished. They're trying to knock down the old high school, and the swimming pool has been sold to somebody else for a private.
I noticed it didn't seem to be open.
No, but you can't find a sign for a new school, a new library, a new swimming pool, because Highland Council haven't put the signs up. It's been open for over a year.
It's that they forget all about us because we're so far north syndrome.
It wasn't in their plan.
Well, it was in their plan, they just haven't done it.
And there's been other things, I believe, you've been promised from Highland Council, which haven't happened.
Yes, we were promised quite a few years ago money to repair one of the old bridges across the river, which is used a lot by pedestrians, visitors, locals, children, dog walkers, because it was starting to look neglected and get a bit and sort of dirty looking, but that's £174,000 was promised 4 years ago. We had re-elections, we've had cuts, seemingly, and that £174,000 has disappeared back into the main pot. So our bridge is still unrepaired.
And I understand dangerous.
Very dangerous. We had a child that fell through it, the planks, last year, and a temporary plank was put over, but that's it. And you have to be careful walking because it's so slidey and slimy with slime. And it's beyond a joke now. Highland Council promised so much, but they never come up with the goods.
The way it seems is that there is no light at the end
there
of that
no
particular
light.
Tunnel. But then you do have, if you can tell me a little bit about it, the Beatrice Wind Farm.
Beatrice Offshore Wind Farm development.
Lots of money.
If only. At last, Wick is managing to reap some of the cash windfalls from the offshore energy companies.
You're saying at last. I get the feeling that it hasn't been quick in coming.
It's not been. Wick is a great place for them to come into the harbour, offload their huge blades, the parts for the wind farms, take it through the town, causing absolute chaos, to go to elsewhere. So they never give us money. Never. And we've been fighting for so long. So at last, off Beatrice, which is just 40 miles off land, we are in the circle of being able to get money. So we now get £74,000 a year for 5 years for each community council in the area of the Beatrice Field to award money to groups that will benefit the community of Wick.
And have you done so?
We have. We've had nearly a full year of paying out some monies to various size of grants from £500 up to £10,000. And it's various local groups have applied and been successful.
I think it's one of the key ways town's going to have to move forward. There isn't the same level of public money being invested at either a council or a Scottish Government level. It's not the ideal way of relying on private companies to invest outside of their general job area, the industry they're involved in. But, I mean, it looks like that's the way it's going, at least for the minute anyway. But to say it's a 5-year plan, and that's not a long time.
But 5 years does give you, and knowing that you've got the money, does give you the ability to perhaps to plan some bigger projects. So what sort of thoughts have you had?
Well, it's the first year, as I say, so it's like a whole new learning curve for us. So we can sit back now and think, right, let's plan for the future. We've got that. We can, if you get so much money from the bowl, you can apply to the bigger grants and then to the lottery. But again, as Luke pointed out, it's quite sad that we have to rely on the private money instead of the government doing these things, or the Scottish Government or the Highland Council.
Actually, we passed the Mackay's Hotel on our right, and I've been stopped in my tracks. What is that I'm looking at?
You're looking at the shortest street in the world, Ebenezer Place. It's a Guinness World Record.
It's 6 feet long.
Yep, it's just one door, which is the entrance to the Mackay's Hotel Bistro.
That's very quirky.
Yeah.
Wick has its quirkiness.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about the War Memorial.
The War Memorial in Wick here, just in front of the hospital, has just been titivated up. We've managed to get secure money from the War Councils to celebrate the centenary for the 1914 to 1918 years, the Great War. And it's looking magical at night. The Community Council managed to secure lighting put in by a local electrical company. They donated their time, but we paid for the lighting itself to light it up every night, and it looks so spectacular at night.
It's gleaming clean.
It is.
The shady bit alongside the town with trees, and you can hear the birds, and a lovely path.
Yes, the path in the Wick Riverside have just been taken over by four volunteer dog walkers who got fed up with the state of the paths. So they got themselves together and started to tidy up and clear up, cut back the old vegetation, did some weeding, and they discovered the paths were a lot wider than what they thought they were. And now they've just managed to get some fairy houses on the trees.
What's that?
Fairy houses. It was made by special needs classes up in the schools. And there's little wee fairy house doors all over the place. They've got nesting boxes. They've just planted wild poppy seeds around the area, around the fountain here. They've cleaned out the fountain.
This is a very quiet and calm oasis here. It's probably a good time to get you off on your soapbox again, Joanna.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, you've talked to me with Luke about the ups and downs, the good, the bad and the ugly. But we can't get away from the fact the Scottish Government drive is community empowerment. It's in law now. How do you feel about community empowerment? I'm going to ask you first, Joanna, then turn to Luke.
My views upon this new law, new empowerment, we need to know a lot more. We need to know what we are allowed to do, what money they're going to give us to be able to do what we want, and what powers we actually have. It's a no man's land at the moment. We haven't had official paperwork to say, right, this is what you can do.
Do you think sometimes, perhaps, Luke, that they might be expecting you to do things which could even be beyond the pay grade, if I could put it that way, of people, of communities, things that are just too much and that should be done in the public sector?
I think there is certainly an aspect of that. I think as belts have been tightened, there has been a drive to cotton wool cost cutting as community empowerment, when it's really just expecting volunteers to perform the duties of what would be expected of a public servant who was getting paid a wage.
Because both of you have told me about things that aren't perhaps at their best in Wick. These things actually need serious money, not voluntary elbow grease alone.
I mean, we've done a very good job at the voluntary elbow grease. We've showed a couple of things off today that have gone very well from that point of view. The things that are going poorly are the stuff that require investment and require resources that are beyond a community council. Certainly while they're still cutting their grants, and you know, there's only so much you can do on goodwill There's only so much that can be expected of a community on goodwill alone. There's a lot of goodwill out there, but it requires the resources and the finance to back it up.
Because you've talked about the fabric of the town being very run down. In a hypothetical situation, maybe the community would take over a building, but to restore the fabric, that's serious money. What do you think, Joanna?
It's not only serious money, but there's so many health and safety and rules and regulations that we are not, as Luke pointed out, we are not experts, we're just volunteers. And I think it's bad of the government to expect community council to do so much and to offload all these requirements and needs that each town, each village has nowadays. It just beggars belief that they expect us to do it, or they want us to do it. They want us to do it, but they won't give us the money to do it or the guidance.
We spend, I'd say, probably on average 2 hours every month banging our heads against the wall, against the Highland Council on stuff that we're wanting to do.
And what do you mean by that?
Basically, whenever we've got an issue with, we've mentioned the Cogle Bridge before, or something as simple as getting potholes, parking, markings on roads, things
like fairly basic stuff.
Really, really basic council kind of stuff. And you sit there and you get told, well, we're running over budget on this. Oh, well, there's the whole Highland Council to cover. We can't just think about Wick. And I'm sure everywhere else has these frustrations. I know they certainly do in Sutherland as well, for example. But it adds to the kind of frustration. I've only been on the Community Council for a year, and I feel very, very frustrated with the Highland Council and councillors, where we just seem to be going over the same points. If you look at our actions list, there's stuff going back years. You know, we talk about it every single month, but nothing is ever done. Nothing ever moves. And that's just really, really frustrating. And then when you have someone turn around and say, well, we don't like to do these things, we like to have you guys take this forward. And you just think, we've taken it as far as we can. We're asking you, and you're basically, in a political way, saying no. And that's really, really frustrating. Mm. And it makes you want to throw the book at them.
I think we did last month.
I got really
got heated last month. Tell me more.
It was very heated. Just get so frustrated because our two Highland councillors that were sitting there, you just feel as though they're not doing anything. They just say, oh, well, but... And he's like, that's not why we voted you in. We want action. We want to see you doing something. I mean, it's just so frustrating. We voted for these people to go into power. And we volunteered to go into power, into community council. But we are trying so hard. A town has seen us doing things because we're voluntary on various groups. But for people in power and people who are getting paid, it's just... I mean, as Luke pointed out, every month, Highland Councils, we have a good go at them. Then the police. There's so few police. I mean, their hands are tied. They don't do a traffic control anymore or a parking on yellow lines. That's been taken away from them. It's now Highland Council. We have got no traffic wardens.
Is parking a problem?
A major problem, especially in centre of town. They park on both sides. Then for a blue lights to try and get through town, the ambulance station is on that side. So if they have to get to a situation on that side, they have to come through. They can't get through. As Luke pointed out last month, I got the stage where I'm thinking, I've had enough, but I don't want to put my... because I don't want to give in. I still want to battle on. And it is a battle every month. I feel as it's getting a worse battle, it's getting a bigger battle.
I can sense your frustrations.
Yeah. I think last month it was a bad meeting.
You can't go around enforcing traffic as a group of volunteers, for example, or painting yellow lines or...
I'm sure Joanna's tried.
Yeah, she probably could. Actually. She's a fearsome presence. And Wick is lucky to have you both.
Oh, thank you, Susie. Thanks. You haven't seen us at a meeting.
Well, I have to come along.
Just shouting at me.